funny, and I'm a little bit like Anthony. I want to have a caveat on some of that. When you ask spender or saver, it sort of is, you know, polarising. So I chose spender, but I don't want you to think that I'm a spender. I'm somewhere in that slide between that between saver and spender. I do a bit of both. But I'm really grateful for the opportunity to come and to share what God has spoken to me in the last few weeks as I've been preparing this message from His Word to share with you. So let's just quickly pray together. Father God, I thank you that you hear our hearts, you hear our thoughts, you know us very intimately. And I thank you that this morning, as we come and we have sat in your presence, as we continue to draw near to you, that you have already spoken. And Lord, I would pray that through this next time of sharing your word, that your Holy Spirit will be ministering in, to, and through me, that we will hear your voice very clearly. I thank you for the power of your Spirit and the way that you will interpret to us beyond words, beyond thoughts, that your presence will speak directly to each of us. So thank you, Lord. Be with us as we share. In Jesus' name.
I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they would say. We don't want your broken parts. I learned to be afraid of all my scars. Run away, they would say. No one could love you as you are.
But they were wrong. They didn't really know me, they thought they did. For years that was the reality. Town folk, family, no one had a place in their life for me. Someone with my reputation. Life had made me pretty tough. Loving had been really difficult. Being loved seemed impossible. Genuinely loved was a distant and shattered hope that I had lost. But I was resilient. I had to be. I had held the broken pieces of my heart, the broken pieces of my life together with a steely control. Everything I could control, I did. It helped me feel safe. Safe from the pain and scorn of others, and safe from the disappointment that I felt within myself. I looked okay on the outside. I worked very hard to make sure that no one knew that my heart was in fact a weighty stone that I carried around with me, dragged around with me, hidden in my chest. To me, my life seemed purposeless, repetitive, and I wasn't sure that anything was ever, ever going to change. But I was wrong. There came a time when I began to hear stories of lives being changed. They were being changed by a man named Jesus. And they weren't just lives of men. There were lives of women too. Jesus had stood in the gap for women. He had protected them. He had shown his love and he had given them a fresh start in life. I wondered if there was something Jesus could do for me. Could he change my life? Could he change my weighty heart? Could he change me? As was the custom, when someone of notoriety came to town, there would always be a party. Someone would invite them to be the guest, sometimes for prestige, sometimes for curiosity, sometimes for spectacle. Either way, I heard that there was a party and that Jesus had been invited. So I had planned to get myself there whatever way I could. There was no way I was going to let an opportunity pass to see this man who had performed these miracles. That opportunity was not going to pass me by. I'd been so stirred by the stories that I had heard. There was something powerful that was drawing me to meet him, or at the very least, set my eyes upon him and see what all of this spectacle was about. When I arrived, the party was well underway, and I mingled in pretty well with a collection of misfits. I steered clear of the preferred guests. Invitations to these parties were a requirement. Even the likes of me, a sinful woman, unclean, certainly unvalued, were not excluded. Well, not really. As long as I kept out of the way of the host, Simon and his friends, all would be well. You see, they were Pharisees, and their cleanliness and right standing depended on staying away from people like me. It wasn't long before Jesus arrived, and I have to say, he was not outstandingly handsome, but there was something about him that made him clearly recognizable as this man of miracles. He entered the dining room, and Simon showed him to the table. From across the room, I watched as Jesus took his place. He reclined on his hip and he tucked his feet behind him and he leant on the table with his elbow. Soon introductions had begun, the wine and the food and the conversations flowed. I still stood where I was. I couldn't hear what was happening, but I could see the interaction. The calmness of Jesus' face, the curiosity of those who had come and reclined at the table with them, Simon looking fairly happy with the guest that he had invited. I remained quite still for a while, just watching. I was fighting the need, however, to be drawing myself closer and closer to him. And before long, before I knew it, it was like an invisible string had pulled me closer to where he was, and I found myself standing at his feet. So close, behind him. Still, I wasn't aware of the conversations that were going on. I just closed my eyes and I began to breathe. I just wanted to draw in that presence that seemed to surround him. I just wanted that peace. My life had been tough. I'm not prone to emotions. But before I knew it, my eyes had begun to fill with salty water, and I was aware of the tears trickling down my cheeks. As I lowered my head, I could see that some of my tears had already been falling on Jesus' feet. They made small blotches of cleanliness in the dark, thick dust. I remembered wondering why Jesus had not been given the courtesy of having his feet washed when he entered the house. Then I knelt at his feet, and my tears continued to fall. As I smeared the dust away with my wet hands, I thought about all those stories that I had been hearing. Stories of Jesus healing the sick, seeking the poor, engaging with them, speaking to people in all levels of society in simple yet profound words. As he walked those dusty roads, Jesus didn't pass anyone without making a change in their life. I can smile now because I still remember the joy of feeling my heart softening within my chest. Just knowing that I was there with this man of change. Looking back, I guess I would say that I was captivated by Jesus in that moment. I was so surrendered to what my mind was asking me to do, what my heart was drawing me to just surrender everything, to not be conscious of what was going on around me. I let down my hair and I dried Jesus' calloused feet with it. In that moment, I stooped lower, and as I cradled Jesus' feet in my hands, I began to kiss them with humble, gentle kisses. Kisses of respect and thankfulness. And then I took from my pocket a small jar of rare perfume. Some would consider that that was the most valuable possession that I owned. And with it, I went to Jesus' feet, those worn and tired feet, and I anointed them with this perfume. Once the fragrance began to fill the room, it seemed that others had noticed what I was doing. The volume of conversation I suddenly became aware of, and it was dropping. I could be aware then that Jesus' voice, I had only been aware of his presence, but I heard him speaking, and he was speaking to Simon, his host, the Pharisee. I'd been so absorbed in what my heart was telling me to do that my mind hadn't really noticed that Jesus wasn't paying me much attention either. Well, that's what I thought. But again, I was wrong. Although Jesus was talking to the Pharisee, it was a moment that I will never forget. Jesus had said to me that my sins were forgiven because of my faith. What faith? Was there a tiny fragment of belief in me from the stories I had heard? I didn't feel as if I had come with a knowing of what Jesus would do. I just knew that my heart needed to see him. And in that instant, I felt that the weight of the world, my dark world, was lifted from my shoulders. And as if that wasn't enough, I soon realized that there was already another change in my life. Jesus turned and he looked at me. And I saw in those eyes the deepest love I have ever known. As he spoke to Simon, he said, "Simon, do you see this woman?" And what surprised me was, I wasn't embarrassed by that. My shame was gone. I was safe with Jesus. I wasn't the person I was when I came in. And the interaction between Jesus and Simon really had nothing to do with me. Yet Jesus asked, "Do you see this woman?" I was happy to be seen. I was free. There was a lot going on at that party, and Jesus was well aware of everything. For me personally, I was in awe of Jesus, knowing all that was in my heart, all that was in my tears, my touch, and my kiss. Miraculously, Jesus must have known there was a slither of hope within me, a slither of faith. Jesus gave me forgiveness, freedom, dignity, and a purpose. You may still not know my name, but my life-changing encounter with Jesus is recorded in God's Word, because that was his unbelievable purpose for my life, that my story might change someone else's life. I am forever changed and ever changing, all through that one encounter with a man called Jesus. There is much we can draw from this scripture. Many times we have heard it preached or preached it, speaking about the degree of sin. Certainly the Pharisee thought that the prostitute had more sin than he had. God doesn't measure our sin. And his direction during this preparation was not about anything comparative. It was about personal relationship. and the unmeasured giving of God. She had no real idea of what she might be getting in for when she went to see Jesus. She had some hopes. She'd heard wonderful stories. But there was something within her that drew her to Jesus. There is something within all of us that draws us to Jesus. Many times we will have heard there is a place in our heart that only Jesus can fill. I believe also that as sin wears away at our heart, either hardening it or eating it away, that hole becomes bigger. And in fact, our sinfulness gives us a greater hunger for help, for hope, and for healing. This woman had a slither of hope, and when she came into the presence of Jesus, that grew into a believing faith. She may not have realized, but Jesus had given her uninterrupted opportunity to express her pain, express her remorse and her need. He was aware of what she was doing. He gave her time that she needed to surrender herself fully to him, her heart, the things of value to her. And then Jesus chose to show his pure love. He honored her repentant heart and gave her forgiveness. Forgiveness of a sinful life. Forgiveness of a hardened heart. And he assured her that she could go in peace. If you were to close your eyes and to picture what peace looks like, I wonder what image would come for you. For me, it's Psalm 23. My Lord the Shepherd, he will lead me to beautiful places and inspiring experiences. And although life will test me and at times torture me, the Lord will comfort and heal me. And best of all, he's promised that he will never leave me. That's my promise of peace, not perfection, but to have God's presence with me always. The second thing that stood out for me that God had provided for this woman, and it's still a promise for us today, was that the evidence of her life having been changed was clear. She was new. When she arrived at the party, everyone would have recognized her as the woman of ill repute. She'd lived a lonely life, full of shame, quietly hiding herself away and becoming defensive. People would have taunted her, would have pointed their fingers at her, or they would have blatantly ignored her when they saw her on the street. In verse 44, beautiful verse, as Jesus keeps his loving gaze fixed on her, he draws attention to her by asking Simon, in front of all the other guests, "Do you see her? Do you see this woman?" My heart was overtaken by the challenge, do I see people? Do I see people as Jesus sees them? Jesus knew that he could see the woman there. But he was asking, do you see her as I see her? Do you see her as worthy and forgiven? Naturally, everyone was going to look at her, and I would have expected her to be surprised and embarrassed, but she was not. Her shame was gone. She was confident. She was at peace. She was in the presence of Jesus. Philippians 1:6 says, "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus." This is a promise that I hold on to every day. Because even though I know I am a new creation in Christ, every day there'll be something that will be wanting to trip me up. Every day I will need to come and bring myself new before the Lord. We're not in this alone. There will always be correction and learning, and that won't end until the day he comes. Jesus revealed to the woman, in the woman, and through the woman that he has a specific plan for all of us. A plan based on love, forgiveness, acceptance, and value. He wants us to be restored to him each day, no matter where we find ourselves. Sometimes we can think we're just ordinary in our ordinary day. We're not this woman who's recorded in the Bible for people to see for thousands of years, for hundreds of thousands of people to hear her story and be changed. We're just ordinary people. But the story is still the same. She approached Jesus not knowing. It was risky to a degree. But you and I don't. We approach Jesus, or can approach Jesus, having the full story. We're on the other side of his sacrifice on the cross. We're on the other side of his resurrection and the other side of Pentecost. We have no excuse for not being all that we can be, for not giving all that we have. Jesus is waiting for all of us to bring what we have to meet him. Whether it's our sin, whether it's someone or something that we put on a pedestal ahead of him, whether it's our fear or our pride, Jesus calls us. Throughout this series, we've looked at people who Jesus met and healed and ministered to and used just as they were. Even Paul, well, Saul, he was 100% himself. He didn't have to do anything before the power of God came upon him. We just have to be right where we are, but we need to be willing. This morning, as we spend a little bit of time just praying about what it is that God may have said to us this morning in this message, I would ask that you perhaps open up your songbook, if there is one close to you. And turn to page 172, which has Psalm 503 on it. The unnamed woman had courage to pursue someone she hardly knew. She was led by her heart. She could have been making a fool of herself, but in total submission, she surrendered. Was it risky for her to do that? Maybe it was. Not everyone at the party was going to know the changes that had happened in her life, but she was leaving there completely different because she had a tiny amount of faith. And she was going to live in peace with a fleshy heart that knew the love of God. And here we are today. Whatever has brought us to this place, we've come seeking God. Whether that was our purpose for coming, or whether we've become more aware of it, that's why we're here. So what's the risk for us? I would like to think and believe that there's no risk, that this is a safe place where the Spirit of God ministers to each of us individually. And we don't need to worry about who's around us, what anyone else thinks. God's going to give us that opportunity. He gives it to us every day, every morning, to come and say, "Here I am. Take what hinders me. I want to give you who I am." know that you're loved, if you need healing, if you need strength, if you need something that's known just to you, bring it to God this morning. He knows what it is. He knows what it is. So if you have a songbook there, I would encourage you just to focus on God. Look at these words as we sing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you accept us just where we are. In fact, you come to meet us. We thank you for the stories that we've heard and the new insights that we've gained of beggars, blind men, women waiting, of hope lost and renewed in you, of hearts healed, of life made fresh, and of purpose. Father God, I would ask that as you have spoken to us today, that you'll continue to search us and that you will create within us a hunger for you to be clean and to be purposeful, to look upon others in the way that you look upon them, and to realize, Lord, that you see us through a great depth of love. Help us, Lord, to be grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus. Help us to be grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. Help us to be, Lord, your disciples. Draw us ever nearer. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Go with joy into the day. Go with God into the day. Go with peace in your heart. And I pray that God will bless you and keep you. That the Lord will lift up his face so that it shines upon you, that he will be gracious to you, and that the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you. You will know his love, his grace, and his peace. Amen.